This is tape 5 of a 12-tape series, the topic of which is humility. The message sermon was given by Pastor Grace Jiang, originally done in Mandarin Chinese. In this given tape, Pastor Jiang's sermon will be preceded by a testimony given by a sister at a church. Here is the testimony. Today I'm honored to step up to share my personal witness with you. As you all understood since about half a year ago, I had been involved in the service with the society. It's called the Good Tidings Society, and you all know about that. Actually, quite a while back, I started to pray to the Lord about my specific personal service for the Lord. After about 6 months' time, Lord opened up the channel for me and granted me with the opportunity to serve with the Good Tidings Society. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for this great opportunity to serve Him. And since I was granted this great opportunity, I not only thank the Lord, I also pray to the Lord about the opportunities for me to learn while I serve the lessons of humility, because it's so important to any servant for the field of the Lord. And I prayed and prayed, and I just realized that God listened to my prayer. And He really created some circumstances and environments which put myself into it. So I sensed immediately I really had a chance and opportunity to learn the lesson how to humble myself before the Lord and before man. I understand one of the important qualities of any servant for the Lord is humility. And I also remember that once Pastor Zhong in our church, and he preached, this is important, particularly for younger generations of servants for the Lord, really need to learn the lesson of humility, how to humble oneself before any service for the Lord. And not only Pastor Zhong's message, also Pastor Jiang's message also helped me a great deal. Pastor Jiang also emphasized on the importance of humbling himself before the Lord in any service for the Lord. And since I joined this Good Tidings Society, Lord really just blessed me a great deal, gave me a lot of opportunities to serve Him. And for a while, I started to team up with the lady in charge, and I was teamed up with her in servicing the Lord. In a particular capacity, we were preparing for a fundraising feast. There's a lot of nitty-gritty detailed work to do in terms of preparing for that feast, for that banquet. So I realized that I really need to pray earnestly and carefully to the Lord how to get this work job done in a proper manner. And as the workload became heavier and the work became busier and busier, I find it's not so easy and not so smooth to get along with the lady in charge of this organization. And since she is the leader of this society, I expect a lot of good qualities from this person, a lot of good personalities from this person. But the reality seems attached to something. On the other hand, it's entirely different from what I expected. And I thought, I prayed to the Lord for opportunities to learn the lessons of humility. And I expect the same from this lady in charge of this society. But to my dismay, I just witnessed something just the opposite. I thought she should have this quality of humility, being the leader of this society. But it's not the case. And I was discouraged quite a bit. Lord, I prayed to you. I want to be humble before you. I want to humble myself. I want to learn the lesson of humility. And I want to learn with this lady. How come now you give me this opportunity? You had me work with this lady in charge of the society. How come I do not experience, I do not sense of this quality of humility within her? So in my service with him, I became more and more frustrated, and I became more and more puzzled. So to the point I could not stand it anymore. And I prayed to the Lord, and I felt and I sensed the Lord did not want me to talk to her. But because my frustration just kind of welled up to the point I could not stand it anymore, I just went up, I just approached this lady in charge, and I just vented my feelings and vented my vengeance to her. I just talked to her and gave her all my feelings toward her personality and toward her service. I just went through all the 9 yards. But right after I said all that, I vented my heart out. I sensed the Lord touched my heart. I knew what I did was wrong. What I did was not in the will of God. And I also sensed the result was not as good as I expected. And then when I went home, I just confessed my sins before the Lord. I asked the help from the Lord. And the Lord enlightened my heart and shed light in my spirit that I need to apologize. But because my frustration, because my pride, I did not apologize to the lady. Instead, I just struggled with the Lord. I said, Lord, you know, the workload has been so heavy. I was so busy and she was so busy. And that was it. I left at that. And later on, the Lord just urged me, so I just followed the guidance of the Lord. I approached her and apologized to her. She said, well, I did not feel anything. That was okay. But as soon as I just apologized to her, I felt this relief. I felt this peace from the Lord that filled my heart. Then shortly after that, this sister approached me and said, well, while I was reading my Bible and studying Bible, the Lord touched my heart, gave me this message. I think this Bible passage, this verse, the Lord wanted me to pass down to you. So she read a Bible passage to me, and the passage was telling us to be humble. Then I had this feeling in my mind, well, how did you know? It is the message the Lord wants you to pass down to me. Who knows, maybe this is a message Lord wanted to give to you personally instead of giving to me. And I really immediately sensed that it's my spirit of pride is acting up again. And the Lord has really blessed me in my service, in my private life, in my relationship with my husband also. At a time, I was very busy with the church work, with the work of the society. I also was heavily involved in my studies. I have dissertation paper to finish. And I also have a family to support. I have a lot of family chores to work with. And also, the work with a Good Tidings Society is also very busy, very heavy, and it's just mounting up. And I just really prayed to Lord. I relied on God. I trusted in Him. I just prayed and asked the help from Him. And you know what? He really helped me. And He really blessed me. He helped me out. And to my surprise, I worked very efficiently in my papers at school. And I also had a very good relationship with my husband. And my husband really supported me unfailingly. Not only that, I just finished my paper at school very quickly and very efficiently. And also my work at the church becomes smoother and smoother. And since all these things coming up together, I need to just make my priorities, set my priorities right. God shed His light in my heart. I knew right offhand that I need to put Lord's work first, which I did, which I followed this message, which I followed the instruction from the Lord. Because of that, God really blessed me. God really helped me. God really guided me through all this muddle, and all the work just came out smoothly. And after that, and during our work, the sister in charge, she had a heart problem. So she just retreated a little bit, and I really have this compassion for her. I really have this mercy for her. I find my attitude changed toward her. I become friendly. I become warmer toward her. But after a while, her heart problem eased somewhat, and she came back. It seems her old self came back with her also. And all of a sudden, our tension between the two of us, it's mounted up again. And my new frustration came up back on me also. And also the school workload became became tough and busy for me again. I find it's really frustrating. I find it's really difficult. What am I going to do, Lord? How come you helped me before? I need your help right now. Please help me. Please guide me through. Lord, I need your spirit. I need your spirit not only dwell inside me. I need your spirit to grow in me, to help me, to have this commanding role inside me so I can really trust you. I can really rely on you. And the Lord really helped me. Lord really saw my frustration, understood my frustration. He helped me. He blessed me. And he really helped me out by just smoothing out the difficulties on my path. And I really have the full support from my husband, and my husband loved me so much also, which is really great help and great comfort. So one day before the fundraising banquet, the sister in charge wanted me to come up with a roster, a name list of all the guests we are inviting, and we are getting seats, we are getting headcounts. So my husband also helped me. We worked really, really hard on it. When we just came up with a list, we showed the list to the sister in charge, and she was instead of being happy, she was disappointed. She said, "Is this all you can do? Is this all you come up with?" And that really just put me down. I was really discouraged a great deal. So on the spot, I just said, well, if you can find someone who can do a better job, just give the job to that person. So without thinking too much, that these words just blurted out of my mouth. But as soon as I said these things, I regretted it. And the Lord touched my heart. I just turned back to her. I said, well, I apologize for what I just said. I'm sorry for what I just said. I thought probably I was too busy with the work, and I was so bogged down. I really need to apologize to you. And her answer is, yeah, I understand. I understand you are busy. Everybody is so busy. But once I apologized to her, I find my burden is relieved. And I find this peace. And I find peace not only with myself, also with the Lord. And I immediately realized that God answered my prayer. Because I prayed to him, I want to learn the lesson of being humble before the Lord, being humble before fellow Christians and the people around me. So God gave me another opportunity to learn this good lesson. I'm so thankful to the Lord, because everything in your environment, everything in a person's, whatever happens to you, it is all from the Lord or permitted by the Lord. So we really need to grab any opportunity, any chances to learn our lessons God has planned for us to learn. So I'm very happy, and I can have this opportunity to share with all of you my personal experience and my personal testimony. The following is the message by Pastor John. Well, you all know our church is located in New Peters, and we also have this family gathering in the area of New Peters. The purpose of setting up those family gatherings is for people who are just practicing inner life. People can gather together. People have a group to go to. People have a group to belong to, so they can share that experience, share their frustrations. They can get help for their difficulties in terms of practicing the inner life. So they can really socialize. They can really communion together. That's the purpose we set up this New Peters family gatherings. And sometimes people can also utilize these family gatherings to share their personal experiences, share their personal witnesses and testimonies with each other. And they can have this spiritual companionship. So I just want to announce that we do have this New Peters family gathering. So all brothers and sisters, if you are in this locality or if you live close by, you are welcome to join. I also need to remind all of you, Andrew Murray's book, the title of the book is Humility. It is a very important book. It is a very relevant book for the topics we are concentrating, we are talking about. So if you haven't finished it, you really need to go ahead and read the book and try to finish it and read it carefully and read it numerous times. Now let's turn to the Bible, to Numbers chapter 11, verses 28 through 29. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my lord, stop them." And Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them all." Recently, we have been talking about the issue of humility, and we also have used the Bible passages to show what do we mean by humility, how humility is shown, how humility is manifested, and is recorded in the different parts of the Bible. And here, this is one more passage we can say, and we can see that Moses said to Joshua, because Joshua stood up and spoke on Moses' behalf, "Moses, my lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake?" So we can see Moses, at this point, Moses is not happy because somebody like Joshua who stood up spoke for him. Instead, on the opposite, Moses said, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Normally, for leaders, it's so easy for the leaders to be happy, to feel the happiness, to feel the gratification when people around him or her, they stand up and speak in their behalf. But here, Moses is an exception. When Joshua stood up and spoke for him, Moses just kind of like reprimanded Joshua, said, "Do not behave like that. Are you jealous for my sake? Are you jealous for my sake?" Which actually the answer is, do not be like it. Do not be jealous for my sake. Do not be jealous in my behalf. I don't need you to be like that. He said, "I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." As we read in the Bible, remember, for all the leaders for the churches, the Bible describes the way the leaders, the quality of the leaders, they prostrate, they bow down before the Lord. It's also recorded in the Revelations, they bow down before the Lord. They prostrate themselves before the Lord. So Moses is not someone who just stood up and spoke for himself, spoke for his own benefit, spoke for his own gain. He is not that kind of a, only other people spoke for him. And in Moses' case, we just witnessed it from the Bible is God himself spoke for Moses, spoke in Moses' behalf. And that should be the scenario with all the leaders for the Lord. That should be the quality we are seeking in terms of leaders for the Lord. So being church leaders, we should have this attitude. We should have this heart for the Lord. It's looking, it's searching for other future leaders for the church. We need to look for someone who can stand in our place, who can fill our void in the event we leave, in the event we vacate from our today's positions and standings. We want to look for someone who is more gifted, who is more talented than we are, so they can just serve in our place. Let's look at another passage, which is 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 5 through 10. 1 Samuel 18, 5 through 10. Whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high-ranking army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistine, the women came out of all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul with singing and dancing, with joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. As they danced, they sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. Pay attention to the last sentence. This refrain galled him. In other words, angered him. Just notice verse 5 said, whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. It's the same with all the leaders, all the commanders at least. They are looking for one important quality, which is shrewdness in his subordinates or his subjects. So here we can see all the women from out of all the towns of Israel, they just came out to meet King Saul with singing and dancing. But what they said, see, it says this referring God him, this angered Saul. You know why? Because the women said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. To start with, Saul had always been very pleased, very happy with David, because David just played his instrument to comfort Saul. And David is very successful in everything Saul had him to do. But now, what the woman said just bothered him. This just tells us, we can really see, we can really testify to the fact, the old self of Saul just acted up. It's just popped up inside Saul. Because our old self is the spirit of the old Adam. The spirit of the old Adam is the spirit of strife, the spirit of contention, the spirit of pride, personal pride, self-conceit. So we can see here in verse 9, so they said, and David was very angry. From this day on, Saul just displeased with David. See, this is a very terrible result of this self, old self acting up in one person. So we really need to be very careful. We need to be always on guard of our old self. At the slightest sign of our old self acting up, we really need to be careful. We really need to put up a fierce fight with our old self. We need to trust our Lord. We need to rely on our God to fight with our old self. Otherwise, once when we have this small opening, we open it up for, give our old self a chance, he will step in, he will take control. It's the same thing inside the church. In our church today, normally, sometimes when our pastor praises and commends one brother or sister or fellow Christians for some good qualities or their good deeds or their good words, sometimes when we hear that, we just feel uncomfortable. We feel uneasy. We feel restless. We feel this jealousy just welling up inside us. So we sometimes we just will retort silently inside us. We say, well, I just don't agree. Yeah, I know he has these qualities. But how about me? I have these same qualities. How come you're not commending me? You're not praising me. I have these qualities also. In some other areas, I'm even better than him. See, this is jealousy. See, this is a spirit of strife. This is a spirit of pride. This is a spirit of self-conceitedness. It also happens in a family. Sometimes when the parents praise one particular child, maybe the younger son, then the older sons and daughters, they will feel jealousy. They will feel uneasy. They will say, well, how come you are only praising him? How about me? How about us? Are we worse than him? And how come you are only praising him? This is a spirit of jealousy. This is a spirit of strife and contention. So this is our old self. We just inherited from our old Adam, because we are all ancestors of him. So oftentimes in church, when the church leaders praised some brothers, and they even used the testimonies and witnesses of some fellow Christians, often in our heart we mumbled, well, who cares? I have the same kind of testimony and witness. I can even list more than he had. All that. This is not a spirit of humility. Just the opposite. This is a spirit of strife. What we really should respond, what we really should be reacting is, we should feel happy for this fellow Christian. We should feel happy for him. We should even add one or more good words to that. We should, in our heart, what we should say, yes, praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this brother. Lord, I am very grateful. I'm very happy for this sister. Yes, she is good. Yes, he is good. He really set an example for all of us to follow. Lord, I thank you for him. Lord, I really thank you for her. This should be our reaction. This should be our attitude. Unfortunately, what we react often is the opposite. We often find excuses for ourselves. We often say, well, why pastor is praising him? Why she is praising for her? All that. And we feel this jealousy. We feel this discomfort. We feel uneasy because we have this jealousy brewing up inside us. That's because we just give ourselves to the spirit of pride. And this spirit is acting up on us. And this spirit is starting to take control over us. We need to be very watchful, very careful on that. And sometimes we may also grumble in our heart, no, not only me, I don't think it's only me. This kind of praising, you dump on a brother, you dump on a sister, not only me, maybe other people around me, other Christians in the church, they will feel more or less the same way like I do. So we really need to be very careful. We need to pay very close attention to this kind of feelings inside us. Once when we have the slightest sign, slightest indication of the spirit of a strife acting up on us, we need to fight back. We need to quench it. We need to press it. We need to fight it. We need to cast it like a casting out, like a cast a demon out of us. Like I said before, we really need to do the opposite. We say, yes, Lord, I thank you. I thank you very much for this brother. I thank you for that sister for showing, for demonstrating these good qualities so we can all look up to. This is called a spirit of humility. We need to follow the footsteps of Jonathan, David's friend. We need to have the spirit of that of Jonathan. He has a spirit of humility, you know, because the presence of David should really be a threatening sign for Jonathan, because he knew very well David is going to be the king after his father. Then David should be his threat, but instead, he does not react or respond to the presence of David with a spirit of strife, with a spirit of jealousy, with a spirit of contention, all that. But he was very happy. He was very happy for David. He was always very happy. He was thankful to the Lord for the presence of David. This is some examples. This is some living example in the Bible you and I should look up to. You and I should learn from. Look at his father. The father is just the opposite. The father is occupied by the spirit of strife, spirit of jealousy, spirit of resentment. And he is always on the chase for David. He really wants to kill David for so many, many times. And sometimes David sent some words of compassion and mercy to him, and his heart was touched, and he repented, and he changed his heart. He changed his attitude to David, but only for a short while. Then after that, his spirit was controlled by jealousy, was controlled by hatred, was controlled by strife again. Then he started chasing after David again, because he really wants to put David to death. So brothers and sisters, don't think it's a small issue. It's a trivial thing if you let the spirit of strife set root inside you. It is no small deal. Like the Bible described, it's like a decaying process in a person's bones, because it's gradual, but it is continual. So when you have this decay in your bone, your bones become weaker and weaker. Whenever any situation happens, when you really want to put yourself a fight to against all these bad situations, against all these enemies, your bone has become so fragile, your bone has become so weak, your bone will break. So brothers and sisters, we need to be so careful. If you and I really want to have a strong spiritual life, you then need to be careful. You and I need to be always watchful. You and I need to put up a very fierce and fight and struggle against the spirit of strife and our spirit of pride, our old self. This is our biggest enemy. We need to fight our old self to death. There's brother, and he had a very good relationship with his fellow worker. But later on, his fellow worker was transferred to his own group, so they are working the same group. They are working the same area now. And all of a sudden, and he heard the fellow office workers started to praise him, said, "Oh, he is so nice, he is so talented, he is so capable, the job he is doing is so wonderful and so great, and we really admire him for his qualities, we admire him for his capabilities." You know what? This brother just felt very jealousy. Very jealous about what he heard. And he had this this spirit of contention. He experienced this great struggle in him. So during his time of break, and I realized this is bad for him. He realized it's dangerous for him. So he, at one particular day, when it's break time, he just bowed on his head on his desk. He said, "Jesus, Lord, help me. You bless this fellow brother. You bless him. You just give him more talents. You help him more. You have more mercy in him. You show greater a capability in this person. And Lord, just help me to fight my own spirit of pride and spirit of strife. I know it's wrong. Lord, with your help, I think I can be victorious. I can be the conqueror of my old self. Lord, help me. I need you. I need your mercy. I need your power." You know what? And he just prayed for that for a while. He found his attitude changed. He can love the other fellow brother, other fellow worker in office like he used to. Because what? That brother did not change. That fellow worker, nothing is changed in him. But this person, he himself, is changed by the Lord. Another example. There is this brother. He works in the computer field. He works in the computer field, and he works in a very competitive environment. And in his company, in his group, and everybody worked so hard. Most of them are workaholic. They spend long hours in the office days to get a job and to try to excel. And since this brother is a very devoted Christian, and he was very submissive to the teachings, to the message he learned at a church, so he just practices this inner life very seriously. So he did not want to spend too much time, did not want to spend long hours in the office. Instead, he wanted to devote his more quality time to the Lord, to spend with the time with the Lord. So in the office, he worked, still worked hard, but only within the normal time frame. And when these latest technology, these new tools are being used, being developed, all the people just want to jump onto it. They want to fight for these good, so-called good projects and these challenging projects because they involve the most recent technologies and tools. And this brother never jumped onto this bandwagon. He just stayed just behind, does his own job. So he always stays more or less in the narrow same field because he stayed in that field longer than other people. So he becomes more and more seasoned and more experienced in own his field. He became an expert in this field. His in-depth knowledge in this field is very wide and deep. And all other people, whenever they touch the field which is related to his, they need to come to him to consult him. So he really became a known expert in this field. So by the year end performance time comes up, and of the whole group, only 10% of the 17 people in the group will get a good raises, will get exceptional raises. You know what? Believe it or not, he is one of them. He gets 12% raise. Why? The boss gave him the performance review. Is he is a great facilitator and a coordinator of the group. He is never aggressive. He is always cooperative, friendly, and he just is very gregarious in the group, and he is always helpful. And all the other fellow workers reported when they need anything which is related to his area, they never fail to get any help or any guidance or any assistance from him, because he always opens himself up. He never kept his own project, his own code as a secret, as a personal privacy, as a personal weapon or secret to himself. He always opened up his code. He always opens up his discovery in terms of developing a new tool or new object code, stuff like that, because he opens himself up so much. So he becomes very valuable and very helpful in the group. People find he is so critical, so indispensable in the group. That's why the boss gives him a 12% very handsome raise. And here you can see this is a living testimony of a person with a spirit of humility, because he does not think about himself. He does not think about the benefits of himself. Instead, he thinks along the line of other people. He is never contentious. He never gets himself into the strife with fellow workers. So the Lord, the good God, just rewarded him very handsomely. This is an example of the spirit of humility. But look at the other fellow workers. The other workers in his office, all days they work hard, they just compete with each other because it is a competitive environment. So they are all very competitive, not only among themselves, not only among the industry, but among each other, because they experience long hours in the office, they experience great fatigue, all that. So originally our brother thought, since he opens himself up and he never kept his code a secret, he thought maybe he is doing something which puts himself in danger. Maybe he is on the way out because he is going to lose his job because he does not have his expertise. He does not have something which is his personal stamp, which is his trademark. But instead, Lord just did wonders to his area. Lord did wonders in his personal life and in his personal faith. He has, without knowingly, and he became an expert in his field. People all came to him for help. People all flocked to him for assistance, for guidance. Brothers and sisters, this is a very beautiful example of a spirit of humility. So that's why we say, brothers, we emphasize for the past few weeks, the important thing is we just should fight against the spirit of pride, the spirit of strife and jealousy. We need to look for, we need to pursue a spirit of humility. I remember when I was young back in Kaohsiung, I was in elementary school. And I have this classmate. She complained to me, and she had a difficult time with the school and with herself. I asked why. She said from grade 1 through 5, she excelled in everything, and seeing that she was always ahead of the class, she was one of the top students. Then all of a sudden now it is the last year of elementary school, which is 6th grade. Now seems other people are gaining on her. Other people becomes better and better. They are doing better and better. And it seems it is a threatening her lead in the class, and she worried. She experienced this great anxiety. She suffered from it. And I was so surprised, because I was also one of the top students, and I never worried about that. Why? Because in my family, all my sisters, my brothers, my parents, they don't care whether or not I really excel at school. They don't care whether or not I made a number one spot in the class or not. It's not important to them. So I never had this stress. I never had this pressure. So I just studied just according to my own pace. I enjoyed my schoolwork, and I did very well. But I never knew this classmate, because her family, they pushed so hard. They wanted her. They just put a lot of pressure on her to be the number one, to be the top student in the class. So she was under a lot of stress. She was under a lot of anxiety to do her best, to hold on to the number one spot in the class. So she really suffered greatly. She had a miserable school life. Well, that's very sad for her. And as a side note, I remember I just once I said to my family, I said, well, I need to go to school to study. I did. I did study for a short while with my classmate, Linda. We went to the movie house to enjoy ourselves. And you know what? Surprisingly enough, at a movie house entrance, I bumped into my whole family, and my father just smiled without saying anything. My sister just blurted out, oh, that's what you are studying for. So you know what, being a family member, being parents, we need to be very careful what we say, what we just expect from our children. Do not exert too much pressure and stress to our children to excel in their schools, in their studies. We need to be very careful. We need to guide them on the right path, which is to worship the Lord, to trust the Lord, to put their complete faith in the Lord, to have a God leading them their lives, instead of pushing them so hard in their academics. Yes, I understand. Today we live in a society, in an environment which is very competitive, which is full of strife and contention and competition. But we cannot be affected by that. We can choose to be not affected by the society, not to be affected by this competitive environment. We can choose, we can determine to be led by God. You know what? The most important, the most cherished quality in heaven is the spirit of humility. It's humility itself. Is the quality one can humble himself before the Lord and before fellow people. But in this world, all we want, even inside the church, what we want is we want to be more used. We want to be occupying a more important, a higher standing in the church, things along that line. Let's look at another Bible verse, which is Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. This is Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Here it says, consider others better than yourself. This is what God wanted us to be like. We need to be considering others better than ourselves. And here it says, we do nothing out of selfish ambition or out of vain conceit. So if we do have this kind of attitude, we have a heart like that, then God wants to exalt these people. God wants to lift these people on high. God wants to put these people on a high standing, high position. So the important thing, we really should be after a spirit of humility. We need to be determined to do so. Yes, here says, consider others better than yourselves. But often people will think, well, I am in reality, in essence, as a matter of fact, I am better than this person. I am better in that area than that person. But this is not the issue. The issue here is the attitude, the heart we should have inside us. We need to consider others better. God wants us to have an attitude which is always think others better than ourselves. God wants us to bow down ourselves. God wants us to prostrate ourselves before the Lord. So look at the book of Revelations. All the leaders, all the elders, the Bible only describes them bow down themselves, prostrating themselves before the Lord, and praise the Lord, and exalting the Lord. This is the attitude. This is the picture of the leaders in the church. Well, I want to just give you another example. There was this church. The leader of the church is McGinney. His name is McGinney. And he is a very devoted servant of the Lord. And he had a very good church. And he also had a very good pastor friend, and whose name is Verna. And that is a very good personal friend and also a good pastor of a different church. And one time he needed to go out on a mission trip, so he needed to leave his own church for a while. So he invited Berna to just pastor his own church. So he wrote this letter to Berna. He said, just come to my church and serve a little bit. So he just left his church and on his trip. Then later on, while he was on his mission field, he heard the brothers and the sisters of his own church reported to him, you know what, since you left, since your friend Bernard has been with our church really experienced a great revival, and we love the Lord more, and our church is more spiritual. And you know what, when McGinney heard about this, what is his reaction? Yes, what is his feeling? When he heard about his reaction is, his feeling is, he is so happy. He is so happy with the leadership of Bernard. So McGinney just wrote a letter back to Bernard. He said, remember, that's what you and I prayed together. Prayed for your service will be more glorious, will be more effective after I leave. And this is what we prayed for. And now God answered our prayer. God blessed your service. Thanks to God, glory to God for Him just blessing your service in my church. So the Christians in my church, the sheep in my church, they are more spiritual, they are more devotional, and they love the Lord more. Thank God for that. Me personally have more or less the same experience. Recently, I've become more and more out of this church and servicing different places all over the U.S. and sometimes internationally. And oftentimes, when I come back, brothers and sisters just report to me that, you know what, Pastor John, when you just left the, and so-and-so led our church, so-and-so led our Sunday morning service, we had such a strong message, we have such a strong leadership, we have a very, very good and worship services. You know what? When I hear about those, I feel so happy. I feel so thrilled. I feel so encouraged and comforted because Lord blessed this church through the service of other people instead of myself. Another example is years back when I was back in Taiwan, I was servicing in Hsinchu. At the time, Billy Graham was giving crusades in Hong Kong. And to match their schedule, we had the same kind of set up in our Hsinchu. So the first day, one brother just presided this service. And the next day, he needed to go to Taiwan to get a videotape of Billy Graham. So then the next day on, he just gave this leadership responsibility to another brother. So he went back to Taipei. And when he came back, which was 2 or 3 days later, and church members they were very happy. They accosted him. They told him, you know what? When you left, you gave the responsibility to brother and so-and-so. But this brother and so-and-so, he is so good. His leadership is so powerful. And our service was so great. And we experienced this revival. We experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. This brother, when he heard this, he was so happy. He was so happy. So he even called me personally. He said, Sister Zhang, since they told me this brother and so and so was so powerful, the Holy Spirit was him, his leadership was really manifesting the power of the Holy Spirit. So you know what? I just had him continue all the way through to the end of this particular crusade. Whatever period is left, I just give the responsibility of leadership to him entirely, because he is doing a better job than me. And God is giving him more power. God is blessing him more, his service. Why does the church need me for this particular crusade? Brothers and sisters, this is an example of a spirit of humility of this brother. So you and I need to ask ourselves this question. What am I looking for? What am I searching? What am I seeking? Seeking the success of this world, or seeking to obey the Lord, or seeking this quality of humility, which is of prime importance, of prime value in the kingdom of heaven? I remember another time, a brother called me, and he is a minister of a church, and he told me about the scenario is in their close neighborhood, there was another church, which is new church just opened up. Because this new church and some of the sheep of his flock, they just on and off, they just went to that church. They joined that church. The major reason, major attraction is that church just put all these brothers and sisters went over there into important service positions. So all these Christians, after they went to that church, they felt they were needed. They felt they were used in some important positions. So more and more sheep from the flock just deserted and went over there. That really just made this wife of this minister very sad, and she was depressed. She cried a lot. So this minister called me to have a talk with his wife. So that's what I did. I called up this sister, I talked, and I told her, I said, "Sister, just remember, the sheep belongs to the Lord, not to you. It is not your property. You do not own your sheep. The Lord owns them. The Lord only entrusted you and your husband to minister to them for any period of time, maybe a few months, maybe a year or two. So they are not your personal possession. You do not own them." Okay, so if they just leave, let them leave, because that means your period of ministering to them terminates here. And maybe they will come back again. Instead of just feel sad, feel miserable about yourself, about this scenario, about your own church, you need to look more carefully. You need to look more closely, examine very carefully about your own self. Maybe something you are missing. Maybe something you need to improve in your ministry. Maybe something you need to improve, you need to change in your personal side, in your personality, in your way dealing with them, in your way just conversing with them, in your way communion with your sheep. All these are the aspects you need to look into, not just sort of brewing on these losses and just depressed by these losses. After I talked to her, she just recovered from her just anxiety. She recovered from her depression and sense of misery. So we need to be very careful about, do I have this spirit of pride? Do I have this spirit of strife and contention? Do I experience any jealousy to any degree? Because believe me, you and I have that. Yeah, and I have these spirits. They are inside. They are hiding. Once when the right time comes up, these things will act up. These things will be awakened. These things will pop up to just attack you and me. Be very careful. So for every servant of the Lord, we need to be careful. We need to be always watchful and on our guard. Just take heart. Do not worry about your sheep leaving your church and going to other churches. We really need to fight against our spirit of strife. We want to compete with other churches for sheep.
It's very sad. It's very miserable situation. Look at a very last verse I want to use today, which is Book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So here says, verse 9, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Jesus is addressing to this kind of group of people. They feel their own righteousness, self-righteousness. They look down, they despise everybody else. So look at this Pharisee. He is pretty good according to today's standards, because he fasts twice a week and he also tithes. He is pretty good. But look at his words he used in his prayer. He said, "I am not like other men, these adulterers, these robbers, these evildoers," which means I'm better than them. That is in essence what he is saying. But look at later on what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God." So anytime when you have the slightest thoughts, no matter how slight the thought is, which you just look down upon other people, you just slight other people, belittle other people, any slightest idea of that, then the spirit of humility is no longer with you. And whatever you do, no matter how much service you did for the Lord, how much work you did in the church, it's all rendered useless. It's all just done in vain. You may say, "Well, you have visited many people, you have served many people in the church, and you gave a lot of money to just different organizations and churches." No matter how much you accomplished for the Lord, as soon as you have a slightest idea, slightest thoughts for rejecting other people, just despising other people, then the spirit of humility is no longer with you. Then all the good deeds you did is of no use to the Lord, is of no value to God, because you do not have the spirit of humility. And this is the most important quality, the number one quality God is looking inside you. But if you and I, like the other men, we humble ourselves, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner." Okay, this tax collector even beat his chest and humbled him. Which you and I need to have a spirit. You and I need to have a spirit of humility. You and I need to have a contrite heart. We need to have an attitude to step down. Step down from wherever you are. We need to lower ourselves down before the Lord. We need to bow down before the Lord. We need to prostrate ourselves before the Lord. Say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." We really need to pray very earnestly and urgently for this quality to be developed inside you and me, to grow inside you and me. So be very careful. Look at the people in your church. When other fellow Christians, some other brothers and sisters, they are praised, they enjoy a higher position and standing in the church than you, what is your response? What is your reaction? Do you praise God for him? Do you thank God for him or her? This is something very important. This is a test for how much spirit of pride you have inside you, as versus how much spirit of humility you have inside you. So you and I really need to learn the example set before us by Paul in the Bible. Like Paul, we really need to confess before the Lord, "I'm nobody. Lord, beside you, I have nothing." We need to be very careful. We need to always bear this kind of attitude with us. Lord, I'm nobody. Lord, I have nothing. I'm worthless. I'm hopeless without you. Lord, all I am is a sinner who had mercy from you, who had compassion from you. We need to always be thankful before God. We need always be grateful before God. The most important thing, we should be comforted, we should be encouraged, is we no longer should be afraid of going down to heaven, because that will never happen to us, because we are saved by His compassion. We are saved by Lord's mercy. So you and I really need to be very careful. We need to search our hearts very closely. Do we have this spirit of strife? Do we have this spirit of contention? Do we have this spirit of contention? You know what? In your office, in your work environment, maybe accidentally you know the salary of your fellow workers. Maybe they will be doing the same job as you, but they are earning more than you. What feeling you have? What reaction you do have? You are so jealous? You are so angry? Then you put yourself into trouble. You really need to thank the Lord for that. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for everything you have done for me. Lord, I thank you for my life. Lord, I thank you for my job. Lord, I'm not going to allow the spirit of contention, spirit of strife, take control of me. Lord, I'm not going to allow spirit of pride to set root inside me. Lord, I'm going to put up a fierce fight with it. Lord, I'm going to cast this evil spirit outside me in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for yourself. Lord, I thank you for your salvation. So if you have this kind of attitude, if you, this is the route you take to be a strong soldier for the Lord, then you will be greatly blessed. We need to claim, Amen, Lord, I thank you for my fellow worker. Lord, I thank you for my fellow brothers, because you blessed him so greatly, because you blessed her so greatly. I remember when Paul and Martina in our church, they just quit their job, they just devoted their full time to the service field of the Lord, and elderly Shi just told me, she said, well, Pastor John, I really need to step aside. I need to make room for them, because they are much younger, they are more energetic, they are more gifted by the Lord. So I can step aside with peace and ease and comfort, because we have stronger servants for the Lord. You know, when I hear these things, these words from elders, I was so encouraged. We really have this spirit of humility in our brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord for that. So be careful. Be on guard. When you look at the people around you, the people, they are of your same age group, they are of your same sex, they are doing the same work, they are in your very, very close circles. These are the people you will become more easily jealous about for anything, like for their capabilities, for their environment, for their family, for their spouse, for their children, for their personal accomplishments, etc., etc. When you see they have anything better than you, you need to open your mouth and praise the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for them, for their blessings, for their accomplishments. Hope the message helps all of us. The message will just guide us through our personal life, through our developing of the spirit of humility inside you and me. We really need to open our hearts to the Lord. Let Lord work in us so He can build, He can grow the spirit of pride inside you and me. Let's sing Psalm 204, and the message ends here.